Agit Chodesh, everybody. Today's limud, as every day, is as a schus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Don Mechayla, hishtav refuah shleima b'korov. So today's halacha is very easy to understand and probably very difficult to actually carry out in real life. The Chofetz Chaim says that how much is one mechuyiv to spend on a mitzvah? How much is a person mechuyiv to spend? Up to a fifth. Fifth of his income. You can declare, there are poskim who speak about it. How much are you mechuyev to spend in order to avoid doing an avera, in order to avoid being over a lav? What? Ronnie says everything. Yeah, the answer is v'chol moidecha, everything you own, up to your life in certain three situations, the Gimel Chamuris, but apart from that, you're mechuyev to give away everything that you own. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that if you have a choice of to speak rechilos or not to speak rechilos, you'd be mechuyev to give away everything that you own in order not to speak rechilos. And that be, you know, not to tell one rechilos, you'd be able, he says, speaking rechilos is the same as eating chaza, is the same as eating bosom b'cholov. Yeah, it's a laugh. It's also minatoyo, and therefore your mechuyev to be moise kol everything that you've got ad kadei chayov v'ad v'loy ad bichlal, in order not to avoid it. He gives an example, for instance. Says there's a cloth factory. They're manufacturing cloth, and at some point something went wrong with the actual production, and there was a fault in the cloth. So what they did was, they covered it up. They covered it up, they did some sort of an amendment to the schoyer in order that people wouldn't notice. And unless you're a real expert, you would never ever notice that there's anything wrong with it. But they didn't sell it as seconds, they sold it as perfect goods. But the only people who knew about it was the people who were working in the factory. Jewish factory, Jewish boss, Jewish employees. And suddenly the employer gets returns. People write back and they say, we heard that the product was defective and we're now returning it for a full refund. And because you obviously deliberately tried to cover up the defect that there was and didn't sell it as a second, we're never doing business with you again. And he realizes that it must be somebody from within the organization. There's no other way that anybody else would have found out. Somebody from within the organization has snitched. Somebody has put out the word that the product is defective. And now he's getting returns and he's getting insults, etc. So the boss calls in the manager of the thing, Pinchas, and he says to Pinchas, I think it was you. I think it was you. You were in charge of the production and you were the one who organized the cover-up. On my instructions, I agree. I agree on my instructions, but I think you're the one who must have told the world about it. Now, Pinchas knows it's not him, and he knows who did it. Is he allowed to tell the boss? Yeah? The boss says to him, he says, I think it was you, unless you could prove to me that it was someone else, I'm firing you. So he's about to lose his panosa. And the only way of saving himself is to say rechilos, which is emes, it's emes, it's true, that the other person did it. But it is Lashon Hara, not only is it Lashon Hara, but it's Rechilos, because it's going to create an enmity between the boss and the employee. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you have to say to him, I'm terribly sorry, I can't tell you, the Torah doesn't allow me to tell you. And if it means he loses his job, says the Chofetz Chaim, it's a lav, you're mechuyev to lose your job.
Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Rosh Chodesh Av, Aleph Av, 5th of August, Rabbi Shmuley Noe, Shlita, Shilas from the Churban. This week's Torahway was sponsored with the Simchos HaBar Mitzvah of Moshe Papa Nerior and Motzi Lerna Nerior. Last Shabbat, you wrote in Shitzko Rehem, the name of Marcus Mehem, the Kodim Tehor, the name of Shmuley, Shachim, the Chaylim, the
Amen. Oh, Chodesh. The Shechnoch says in the beginning of Simon Tov Kuf Nun Aleph, Mishenichnis Av, Mematim Besimcha, that when we enter the Chodesh of Av, Mematim Besimcha, we're meant to lower the amount of Simcha that we have in the certain halachas of Avelis and of Tzar, and the times we find ourselves in Yemei Evel, the days of mourning, the Churban Habayis. At the same time, the Svarim tell us that the days we find ourselves in are extremely high days as well. Kajin Tzamaga, the Avodas Yisrael famously touched the Pasuk in Eicha, Pasuk Gimel, that says, Kol Roi Tfeo, Hi Sigur Bein Amtzorim. Pasuk says that all those that chased after Klal Yisrael were able to catch Klal Yisrael Bein Amtzorim during this period of Bein Amtzorim. And the Kajin Tzamaga says that you can read the word Kol Roi Tfeo as Kol Roi Tf Yud and Hei. Anyone who chases after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his sigur will be able to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'meibin amtzorim, in the bin amtzorim. Meaning anyone who's after his scarabus, anyone who's after Dveikus Bashem, anyone who wants to grow in Avodas Hashem, his sigur bin amtzorim. The Oiv Yisrael, the Abt Rov, writes in his Sefer HaLaTorah and Parshas Dvorim, he writes the Shabbos Chazoin, this week's Parsha, Shabbos Chazoin is the highest Shabbos of the entire year. And the question is, why? If we find ourselves in times of Avelis, in times of Mimat and Besimcha, in Yimei Churban, then why on the flip side of these Manim, are these times, the highest times of the year, times of Koroid of Koh, anyone who chases after Hashem, his Sigur, why is this Shabbos the highest Shabbos? The Nesiva Sholem explains, in his Mamor Ben Amtzorim, he says, B'derech Moshel, you have a king who's at home, in his palace, such a king can be very hard to get to. The only way you can get to the king is if you have an appointment, and you have to get through all the guards, and then you have to get into the palace, and all the rooms, all the chambers, until you get to the king. He says, "Keshamelech bederech," when the king is on the way, then he's much more accessible, he's much easier to get to. I think a moshel for our times is that at a time of simcha, when a person's making a chasana, then certain people are invited to the chasana, and certain people are invited to dinner, and certain people are invited to the mitzvahs. And not everyone is invited to every single part of the chasana. But l'havdil, when it comes to a time of Churban, when it comes to Avelis, if somebody's sitting Shiva, then anyone can turn up. There's an open door, nobody needs an invitation, no one's more invited than anybody else. Every single person has as much equal right as the other to go and be Menachem Oval. So it's the same thing, says the Nesiva Sholem, that in these times that we find ourselves in, yes, they are Zmanim of Churban, and it's Yimei Avelus, and Yimei Tzah, and Mematim B'Simcha, but at the same time we have to remember that these are days of Iskarvus, and days that a person can become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps more than any other time of the year, because HaMelech B'Derech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shechina is in Golos, and therefore anyone who wants can tap into Dveikus B'Hashem. The Sugya of the Churban, and some of the shilas that come out of the Sugya of the Churban, which I'd like to discuss today, begins in Gittin Daf Nun Hei. Famously, these are the Gemaras that a person can learn on Tisha B'Av from Daf Nun Hei with base until the end of Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And the first Sugya I'd like to talk about is the Gemara in Daf Nun Zayin Amud Base, a Sugya of Yehorig Valyavoy, of Kiddush Hashem, where the Gemara says a story of 400 children. The Gemara says there were 400 children, 400 boys and girls. They were taken captive in order for Averis. They were taken captive from Eretz Yisrael, and they were going to be taken to Rome in order to be over Gimel Averis Chamurus. And the children knew what they were going to be taken for. They realized what was going on. And they knew the halacha is the Gimel Averis Chamurus, Yehorig Valyavoy. So what did they do? So the children had a discussion. What would happen if we would jump into the sea? Will we still be Zoicha to Chai Olam Abba, or will we not be Zoicha to Chai Olam Abba? And one of the children, Dorish Len Agodol Shebehen, one of the greatest of the children, said that Oshiv Umetzuleis Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return from the depths of the sea every single year. And from here he learned that we will certainly get Chai Olam Haba if we jump into the sea in order not to be over the Gimel Averis Chamuras. So the girls heard this and they jumped straight into the sea. Serious nefesh mamish of these young children, straight into the water. And the boys said, if the girls can jump into the sea and kill themselves, and all the more so we also have to. Rashi explains why it's a kal v'chomer. And the boys also jumped into the sea. And the Gemara says on this pasuk, on these children, the words, ki olecho hiragnu kol hayom, a pasuk in Tehillim, that Klal Yisrael, throughout the generations, have always killed themselves for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for keeping the Torah, and for keeping mitzvahs. Ki olecho hiragnu kol hayom, nechshavnu katzon tivcho, we are considered like sheep that are always taken to slaughter. These are the 400 children that during the Zman HaChurban were taken captive and jumped into the sea in order not to be over Gimel Averis Chamuras upon arriving at their destination. And Tosis asks a question based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. We know that Rebbe Kiva, when Rebbe Kiva was killed by the Romans, So they took a Sefer Torah and they wrapped Rabbi Kiva's body up in a Sefer Torah. That's what Tosafot says. Was it not Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Chanina ben Chadian? So they wrapped him up in a Sefer Torah and they took wool and made it wet. Rabbi Chanina ben Chadian? They took wool and made it wet and put it on his heart in order to slow down his Misa. And his Talmidim asked him at the time when he was burning, why don't you open your mouth and swallow some of the fire and allow yourself to be nifta earlier and save yourself all this pain? And he answered the following words, Mutav shitleno misha nosno. It's much better that my soul, my neshama, should be taken by the person who put it there to begin with, va'al yechabu ba'atzmoy, rather than me myself causing my misa to come any earlier. So Tosis asks, these 400 children, it's true they were heading towards Yehorek Vali Avoy, so they should have waited. Wait till you arrive in Rome and then worry about it. If the Romans decide to kill you, then they will kill you. If you need to be killed, not to be over Gimel Averes Chamuras, then do so. But what right did they have to actively come and stand up and jump into the sea? They should have been passive. Don't do anything. Sit still. And when you arrive in Rome, then if they decide to kill you because you're not being over that virus, then so be it. But Mehecha Teisa, they were allowed to actively stand up and jump into the sea. We see clearly that Mutav Shidlenu Mishenosno V'Ali Chava Ba'atzmo. That's the question which Tosafos asks. Tosafos has an answer with our two very big chidushim la'alocha in the midst of Kiddush Hashem that I learned from this answer of Tosafos. Tosafos says the words, Hocha over here, Yireim Hoyu Miyisurin. They were scared of Yisurin. And the Chiddush explains Tosafos as follows. The children knew they were going to be taken into Golus. And not only they would be either killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, or have to be over the Averis. The children knew they would be tortured again and again and again. Not just a one-off Misa. And the children were scared that if they allow themselves to be taken into Golus, and to be tortured, they won't be able to withstand the nesoyan of being tortured constantly, and they will succumb to being over Gimel Averes Chamuras. And therefore, rather than allowing themselves to arrive at their destination and then be tortured and then succumb and be over the Gimel Averes, they therefore actively jumped into the river, into the sea, in order not to be over and not be able to withstand the Yisurim. And there's two chedushim that we see from this Tosafos when it comes to Kiddush Hashem. Number one is that there is a shaila. We know Yehorek Vali Avoy, the Gimel Averes Chamuras, the three cardinal sins. A person has to give up his life in order not to be over the Avera. Gemara Sanhedrin says, B'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notles nafshecha, you have to give up your life. What about Yisurim? If a person is going to be tortured day in, day out, if a person gets taken by a Rosha, and obviously the Rosha says, I'm either going to kill you or bow down to Avodah Zorah, then he has to allow himself to be killed. But what happens if the guy takes him and tortures him for a day, and then for another day, and then for another day, he beats him day in, day out, day in, day out? Is he also mechuyev to allow himself to get beaten day in, day out, and not be over the Avera? Or do we say that Yisurin is worse? It's based on the Gemara Ksuvos Daf Chof Gimel, that physical pain, endless physical pain, is worse than Misa. And there is a Shitta, quoted in Shitta Mekubetzes, then Ksuvos, that holds that Yehorek V'al Yavur only applies if you're going to get killed on the spot. But if you're going to be tortured on and on and on and on, you're not mechuyev to allow yourself to be tortured and not be over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. Only b'chol nafshecha, if he takes your soul, but to allow yourself physical pain for an endless amount of time, you're not obligated to do that. However, Rabbi Natam argues, and he says, no, even if you're going to be physically tortured endlessly, that's also included in b'chol nafshecha, and you have to allow yourself to be physically tortured on and on in order not to be over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. So the first thing we see from this Tosafos is that if a person is going to be physically tortured and suffer Yisurim on and on, he's still mechuyev to suffer that and not be over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. And that's what Tosafos says. The children knew they were going to have Yisurim, and they thought they won't be able to withstand. And you're mechuyev to withstand Yisurim and not be over Gimel Averes Chamuras. And therefore, they preceded this and jumped into the river. That's the first chiddush we see from Tosafos, that even for Yisurim, a person has to suffer and not be over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. The second chiddush that we see from Tosafos is a shaila which the Rishonim have discussed through the generations and throughout our own tragic and also heroic past, has unfortunately been nogea. And that is Yehorek V'al Yavur, that person has to allow himself to be killed for the Gimel Averes Chamuras is not only a passive chiyuv, person standing and they say, either bow down, I'm going to chuck you into the fire. So passively, he's mechuyuv to say, I refuse to bow down, chuck me into the fire. Is Yehorik Valyavar also that a person is allowed to actively kill himself in order to save himself from being over the Gimel Averes Chamuras? So the Ritva, then in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yud Ches says, Shomano, that I've heard, B'shem G'doylei Tzorfas, in the name of the great Rabbonim of France, She'etiru kein halocha lemaisa. They were matir, halocha lemaisa for, doesn't say the exact circumstances, but for people that were scared that they were going to be forced to be over Gimel Averes Chamuras, not just to passively allow themselves to be killed, but to actively kill themselves or to kill other people in order to save themselves or other people from the Gimel Averes Chamuras. The Chidor wrote a famous sefer called Shem HaGadolim, where he writes short biographies about various Rishonim and Achronim. And the Chidor writes that in Ois Yod, the Rosh had a son called Rabbeinu Yehuda. The Rosh had another son called Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Balaturim, who wrote the Torah, and he wrote the Balaturim al HaTorah. And Rabbeinu Yehuda, the son of the Rosh, married the daughter of his brother, Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Balaturim, which means that the Balaturim was the father-in-law of his brother, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of the Rosh. And the Chidor writes there that there was a gzera, there was a zman tzora, there was something going on, and Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Harosh killed himself, and his wife, herself, and the mother-in-law, the wife of the Balaturim as well, because they were scared they would be forced to be over Gimel Averes Chamuras, therefore actively they were Yehorik Valyavari, they killed themselves not just passively. The Shach in Kufran Zayn, Sifkon Aleph writes, Oysan Kedoshim Sheshachtu Atzmon, throughout the history, the Kedoshim that killed themselves, Shleisom Chudatam, they couldn't trust themselves, Lamed bin Nesoyen, they will be able to withstand the Nesoyen, Kedoshim Gemurim Heim, they are Kedoshim Gemurim. So we see that there were many Rishonim closer to home in York in 1190 in Clifford's Tower. One of the Bali Toises, Rabbeinu Yom Tov, was there. And also famously, there were 60 Yidden in the tower that refused to come out and to convert and to give in to the demands of the mob that was outside the tower. And Rabbeinu Yom Tov, one of the Bali Toises, who was visiting York at the time, was in the tower and he paskened for the Olim in York, for the people in the tower, that Yehorik Valyavari is not just passive, they are allowed to actively be engaged in making sure that they're not over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. 159 people? I've been corrected left, right, and center here this morning. Okay, good, it's better that way. 159 people. Okay, the Bis Yosef, however, in Kufrin Zayin, brings a story from a Rav Echod that says, no, that's not the case. It's totally awesome. And he says a very interesting story. Why? If someone's being taken to be over Gimel Averes Chamuras, even if he's scared, he won't be able to withstand. You don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. Maybe the Gzeira will change. Maybe they'll change their minds last minute. Maybe there'll be a cancellation of the decree. Maybe something else will happen. And the Beis Yosef says, and therefore the Beis Yosef says, B'shem Rav Echad, that no, it's a total issa for a person to be active in killing himself, to save himself from Gimel Averes Chamuras, and rather be passive, because you never know whether the Gzeira will be saved or not. But this is the Machlokes Rishonim. But from this Toises we see clearly, Halacha Lemaisa, from this Toises, and the Piskei Toises at the back, Paskens Azoi, that the children had a heta to actively jump into the sea, and not just allow themselves to see what happens later, in order to save themselves from being over Gimel Averes Chamuras, because they thought they would succumb, and not to be able to withstand the Nesoyim.
Himself to save others?
For himself and for others. Yeah, in York it was...
To kill himself to save other people.
What do you mean?
Sometimes happen in Israel that a bomb is there, there's some delay on it to save the others.
But that's not one of the Gimel Averes Chamuras.
No.
Because he's not actually killing someone. That's the shadow of killing himself to save someone else's life.
Kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not the Gimel Averes Chamuras. Yeah, I don't know. So these are the two chidushim that we see from this Tosis. Number one, that even for suffering Yisurim, a person is obligated to suffer endless Yisurim in order to save him, in order not to be over Gimel Averes Chamuras, which is even more difficult and hard than being killed. And number two, that a person, Rachmon Letzlan, in such a situation, which has happened throughout the generations, and this was the story of the 400 children, is allowed to actively jump into the sea, or actively jump into a river, or actively kill himself in order to save himself from being over the Gimel Averes Chamuras. I want to move on and discuss now a different, perhaps a bit lighter, sugi in the Gemara later. At the end of the Omud, The Gemara discusses the Haruge Beita. There were many millions of people that were killed in Beita. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Bachana, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says there were 40 saw, a measurement of 40 saw of tefillin, that were found on the heads of the people of Beita that were killed. 40 saw. Then the Gemara quotes another Mount Omar that says, no, there weren't 40 saw. There were three boxes of 40 saw. Three times the amount, 120 saw of tefillin that were found on the Haruge Beita that were killed. And the Gemara asks a contradiction. Were there 40 saw of tefillin or 120 saw? So the Gemara says, one is tefillin shel yad, and one is tefillin shel roish. And which one is which? Rashi explains that there was 120 saw of tefillin shel roish and 40 saw of tefillin shel yad. Well, why should that be the case? Everyone wears one tefillin shel yad, one tefillin shel roish. So why, when they killed them, did they find three times the amount of tefillin shel roish and tefillin shel yad? So Rashi says that we know the tefillin shel roish has four parashias, as opposed to the tefillin shel yad, the Shema Avraham Shema Kadosh Vayikav Yachad, being written on one piece of parchment. The tefillin shel roish is written on four separate parchments, and each parasha is in its own compartment. And therefore, the tefillin shel roish was three times. Rashi asks why not four times, but was therefore three times the size of the tefillin shel yad. And that's why when they found the Haruge Beita, they were there with three times there was three times the amount of tefillin shel roish in size than tefillin shel yad, because the tefillin shel roish were much bigger than the tefillin shel yad. So, now the Rashash asks on this Rashi that nowadays I've never seen a pair of tefillin that the tefillin shel roish is bigger than tefillin shel yad. Every single person's tefillin that I've ever seen, the shel yad and the shel roish, are both exactly the same size. That's the kasha which the Rashash asks on Rashi. Even more than that, the Rashash asks that the word of the Gemara is Arboim saw ketzutze tefillin. There were 40 boxes of saw of boxes of tefillin nimtzu that were found beroshe haruge beta, on the heads of those in beta that were killed, and 3 times 40 saw is what the other Mount Omar says. So how can you say that the 120 is the tefillin sheroish because they were bigger, and the 40 saw is tefillin sheliad because they are much smaller, and tefillin sheroish takes up more space? The Gemara says arboim saw beroshe haruge, on their heads. The Rashash says that Rashi is a pele. So Imram Shif answers a massive chiddush. Had to explain what does this mean? There were 40 saw on their heads. Imram Shif says, I saw in a sefer once. I don't remember which sefer it was. I saw in a sefer that says that when a person's carrying something, you're not allowed to wear your tefillin shel yad on your arm. Either it's a gnai for the tefillin shel yad to be on your arm when you're carrying something. And these soldiers who were carrying weapons and carrying knives and carrying spears were not allowed to wear their tefillin shel yad on their arms b'shas they'd gone to battle. And therefore, he says they would take the tefillin shel yad and put it on their heads. The Gemara says that there's enough space on your head to wear two pairs of tefillin. So some people wear Rashi and Abinatam time together. So there's enough space on your head to wear two pairs of tefillin. So they wore their tefillin shel yad and their tefillin shel roish on their heads together. So when the Gemara says there were 40 saw of tefillin on their heads, and it's referring to tefillin shel yad that they wore on their heads in order, because the halach is, you can't wear tefillin shel yad when you're carrying a pekel. Now the source of this, The Chidor asks on this Miram Shef, I've never seen this halacha anywhere. Where does it say that you can't wear tefillin shel yad on your arm and you only have to wear it on your head instead? And Remei Arik and others ask, it's a pele, a person is yoitza, his chiyuv tefillin shel yad by putting his tefillin shel yad on his head? Have you ever heard of such a halacha? So the makor of this Miram Shef is the Maral Prague, and Netzach Yisrael himself says this is pshat in the Gemara. It's not good for a person to have his tefillin shel yad when he has klei melchama ala tefillin, so they wore on their heads. But they all ask the Maram Shef, we don't find anywhere that a person is yoytze his chiyu tefillin shel yad by putting his tefillin shel yad on his head. Even more so, Shechanoch discusses what's the halacha if somebody for whatever reason can't wear tefillin on his hand. What should he do? Can he wear his right hand, on his left hand? Doesn't say anywhere in Shechanoch, in Simchav Vav and Simchav Zayin, that just put it on your head. We don't find this halacha anywhere. So there is a discussion whether the Maram Shif meant this lahalacha. Perhaps the Maram Shif just meant that for safeguarding purposes, they took the tefillin shel yad and put it on their heads. Who says they put it on their heads in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad? Maybe it was just for safeguarding. I saw a chiddush that perhaps the Maram Shif means We know the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch says that whenever you're wearing your tefillin shel Rosh, you have to also be wearing your tefillin shel Yad at the same time. V'hoyu l'toy tofos b'inenecho, we darshan that to wear your tefillin shel Rosh, you always have to have your tefillin shel Yad on. So first you wear your shel Yad, then you put on your shel Rosh, then you take off your shel Rosh, and then you take off your shel Yad. So the shel Rosh is v'hoyu l'toy tofos b'inenecho, is always there. So perhaps for that, even if your shel Yad is only on your head, perhaps that would be enough of a kiyum of having them both on at the same time, that your shal yad is on your head, that you can now wear your tefillin shel Rosh on your head as well. That's what the Maram Shif means. But there was a posuk in America, Rabbi Yaakov Meskin, who lived during the wars. He's one of the 400 Rabbonim. You can see a picture of him with the 400 rabbis march in Washington that went to try and have a meeting with the president to achieve for the Eden during the war. He was one of the Rabbonim there. And he writes a tshuva in a sefer Evan Yaakov. There was a Jewish soldier in the American army, and he wrote to him, I can't wear my tefillin shel yad. I've got heavy uniform and weapons, and there's no way I can put my tefillin shel yad on. So he says, no problem, take your tefillin shel yad and put it on your head. Like the Ram Shif says, these were the tefillin shel yads that were on the Rosh Haruge Beita, and you'll be yotz yechiv with that. So we see a chiddush from this Gemara, according to where the Ram Shif teaches the Gemara, and according to where the Ben Yaakov understands the Ram Shif, that the tefillin shel yad were worn by the Yidden and Beta on their heads because a person can be yotzer his chiyuv of wearing tefillin shel yad on his head b'shas mechome if there's no other option. Could be, like I said, Ram Shif means just for safeguarding purposes, but it could also be, according to Ben Yaakov, seems he was actually yotzer his chiyuv of tefillin shel yad on his head, which is a chiddush la'alocha that we don't find in any of the poskim anywhere. One third sugya that I'd like to briefly discuss is another Gemara at the time of the Churban in Dafnul Chesem at Aleph. The Gemara says, Maisi b'Rishu ben Chananya. There was a story of Rishu ben Chananya. They went to a big city in Rome and they told him there's a certain child, Tinuk Echad Yesh b'Beis Asurim. There's a child who's in prison, Yofei Naim v'Toiv Roi, he's got beautiful eyes and he's good looking. And Rishu ben Chananya went outside the prison and he shouted over a posuk, Mi nosal l'mashisa Yaakov, who gave over Yaakov to destruction, v'Yisrael avoizes him. And the child answered back the second half of the posuk in Yishai, v'om, and he said, Haloi Hashem zu chaton lo, it's Hashem, because we have sinned to him, v'le'ovu b'droch of holoch, we didn't go in Hashem's ways. So Rishu ben Chananya, another story from the Churban, is standing outside the prison in Rome, and he's shouting over this half a posuk in Yeshaya, and the child inside, without any svarim, is immediately answering the second half of the posuk. So Rabbi Shmuel Chanani says, I can see this child is such a big Talmud Chochem that I don't want to budge from here until I redeem him for kol momen sheba'olam. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel Chanani stood there and he paid a huge ransom to redeem this child. And this child ended up taka growing up to be a big Moira Hirobi Yisrael. He ended up being the famous Tana, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Tosis asks the question that we learned in Daf Mem Hei earlier in the Masechta, that a person is not allowed to redeem somebody else for more than he's worth. There's halacha because of two reasons, either because you'll be encouraging more kidnapping, or because it's a burden on the tzibur that's too difficult for them to withstand. That person, you can't be poida, a person for yes al gadei demeh, more than they're worth. So how could Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya go and redeem this child for more than he was worth? Tosfos offers three different answers, two in Daf Nun Ches, one in Daf Mem Hei, and each one of these three answers is a big nafkamin in halacha. The first answer of Tosfos is that this child was a Talmud Chochem. And when it comes to redeeming a Talmud Chochem, the halacha of Yeser al-Kadei Demeyan does not apply. That's what Tosfos says. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Nun Beis in Hilchos Taka, where there's a siman on Pidyon Shvuim, Paskens, anyone who's a Talmud Chochem, the halacha of Yeser al-Kadei Demeyan does not apply. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, even if you're not a Talmud Chochem, but you will become a Talmud Chochem, because this child was not yet Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. He was only, Tosfos assumed, and the Gemara assumed, that in the future he will grow up to be Moir Rabbi Yisrael. Also the same thing, that it's mutter to redeem a Talmud Chochem for Yesal Kadei Demeyan. Merami Rottenberg, who was undoubtedly the Talmud Chochem of his day, was imprisoned and for the last 6 or 7 years of his life. Correct me if I'm wrong. 6 years? Or 7 years of his life. And Merami Rottenberg refused to let them redeem him. And the Yamshel Shlomo asks, why not? He was a Talmud Chochem. According to this Tosfos, you can redeem somebody who's a Talmud Chochem, even Yesal Kadei Demeyan. And the Yamshel Shlomo says that perhaps the Merami Rottenberg was an honor, or perhaps the Merami Rottenberg knew that if he would start this cycle of paying fortunes for Tamid HaChomim, they will start taking all the Tamid HaChomim, and there will be no Rabbonim left in Klal Yisrael. But the Maish, the Shechnor Paskins, based on his Toises and his Gemara, that Talmud Chochem can be redeemed.
He made himself.
Sorry?
He himself asked not to redeem.
Not to redeem, yeah, yeah. And that was the Mashal's question, why not? Toises gives a second answer, Sakonos Nefoshos. When there's Sakonos Nefoshos, when there's a risk to life, there's no Issa of Ein Poidnes Ashur Nyesal Kadei Demein. If there's a risk to the persons, if the person's taken hostage and there's a and his life is not at risk, then there's no halacha. Then there's halacha of ein poedin. When there's a risk to the person's life, then there's halacha of ein poedin es hashvun. Then halacha of ein poedin es hashvun, yes, like they do, falls away. And in this case, this child was taken captive. There was a risk to his life, and therefore it was mutter to do so. The Shailin halacha, whether we paskin like that, Piskachur brings two opinions, whether we paskin like this, Toisus benegeir to risk to life or not. The third answer of Toisus is found in Daf Mem Hei, where Toisus says that a time of Khurban is different. The whole halacha is because you can't encourage people. At time of Khurban, when people are anyway out to fight Klal Yisrael and get Klal Yisrael, nothing you're doing is going to make them any better or any worse. And therefore, Toisa says that at time of Khurban, and perhaps the same would be at any time of war, when they're just out to get Yidden and out to hurt them and harm them in any way they can, it would make no nafkamina whether you do redeem or don't redeem, because they're out to get you anyway. I'll share one interesting maramokim is Ravadi Yosef in Yabia Oymen, his last chelik in Simon Vov. He has a long tshuva about the Entebbe raid. He writes that he was asked, together with Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and other gedolim of the time, Rabbi Tzina Abba Shaul, to sit together and decide what's the halacha by Yes Al Kadei Demein in saving the plane full of people who were taken hostage in Entebbe. And he writes, based on this Toisus, Sai because of Sakonis Nefoshos, and he also writes because it's a time of war and they don't need any encouraging anyway. The halacha lemaisa, him and Rabbi Yashir and Rabbi Zalman all agree that was a chiyuv to be engaged and redeem the people taken captive, even though it's Yes Al Kadei Demein, because of this Gemara and this Toisus that we're mocking Sakonis Nefoshos, and in the case of Khurban and a time of war, then there's no issa of redeeming someone who's taken captive, even Yes Al Kadei Demein. The word is that v'cholik, but that's the tshuva of Bavadia. I'll just finish off with a very short vod, also from the sugi of the Khurban. We know that the gnat that went into the nose of Titus and sat there and buzzed and drove him crazy, and he found respite. If you walked past a blacksmith who was knocking and hammering, then it made it stop making noise. For 30 days it worked, and after 30 days it didn't work anymore. And the Gemara says, "Kivin the dosh dosh." The Bali Musa learned from me that a person can get used to something. After 30 days of getting used to something, then it becomes much easier. So the Sefer called Pnei Chaim on Maseches Brachos asks the question. David HaMelech woke up every single morning. The Gemara says there was a kinnor, a harp, hanging over the bed of David HaMelech, and it played music every morning and it woke him up. How did it work after 30 days? If we see from Titus that after 30 days, he asks, how do our alarm clocks work? Right? After 30 days, you should get used to your alarm clock, and it shouldn't work. So he answers the Moridiga answer. He says that yes, a person gets used to something. But David HaMelech Savoid Sashem, it wasn't like a gnat buzzing in his head to get used to the annoyance after 30 days. David HaMelech Savoid Sashem was Bechol Yom Yehu Benech Kechadoshim. Every single day was his chachas. Every single day was something new. His avoid of today was different than yesterday. And therefore it's not something which he got used to Bechlal. Every single day was his chachas. The Gemara in the end of Daf Nun Zayin, when the base finishes off, Ki Olecha Hirag Nekol Hayom. So we discussed the story of the 400 children. They killed themselves. Fakoch Baruch Hu. The Gemara says a different type. What does Ki Olecha Hirag Nekol Hayom mean? Zois HaToyra Odom Ki Yomaz Bo'oil. Klal Yisrael that sit and they learn. And the Oisik in Avoid Hashem, even when it's difficult. That's Ki Olecha Hirag Nekol Hayom. Now, maybe it's easier to sit and learn and to be Ovid Hashem than to jump into a sea. But we see from the Gemara that living Al Kiddush Hashem and having his chachas in Avoid Hashem, that's the Kiyolecha Hirag Nekolayim which is incumbent on us. So let's learn from the mysterious nefesh that the Eden had throughout those generations at the time of the Khurban and throughout all the generations until today. The mysterious nefesh that we have to have in our own Avoid Hashem, but Kiyolecha Hirag Nekolayim in a living way, and that every single day should be his chachas in Avoid Hashem, b'cholim b'ibnecha kechadoshim, and amit Hashem in that schus will be zoicha to our chodosh hotzi in toy b'vieska tzedek b'mehir of yameinu amen.